And to me, this involves another question of how morally certain can we be on issues we face, both as individuals and as a church. And what I mean by the church in this case would be both individual congregations taking a stand on an issue or a denomination. I know both the ALCA and the LCA would, I don't know if it was once a year, three times a year. It wasn't often, but they'd write a paper on it. The Catholic bishops have been doing some rather detailed position papers, one every two or three years, but they're book-length position papers on specific issues. And, of course, then the other thing I mean by the church is Christian political groups. We've all heard of them, wide type of range of groups. Is it appropriate for them to do this? The end result, if you want to get out of here a lot quicker, is just maybe, or it depends. I'm not going to say yes or no. For background, do you hear okay?
Yeah, yeah.
For background, I forgot to say that this is beginning. It has begun. I hope the tape is getting this. I'm John Marty, and I'm talking about that topic in case the tape didn't get it. Should the church take positions on political issues? For those who have heard me by now, I apologize. I'm giving a little background. I'm a state senator from Minnesota, newly elected, but have been involved in state and federal politics as a researcher and so on for a number of years, and a Christian like all of you and concerned about the relationships in this area. And please feel free to interrupt if you want to challenge something, if you want to pursue a point a little bit further, or if you have questions about something. And along with this topic, which is sort of should the church take positions, and along with that, how morally certain can we be, it's clear in the past that people of every political philosophy have claimed Christ to be on their side. And I'd like you to just take a moment to think about this whole issue. Think to yourself, should the church take a stand on issues? Can we be morally certain that something is the Christian position? And can we be certain, or on the other hand, is it sort of arrogant for us to claim that position X is the Christian position? And while you're doing a minute of thinking about that, here I'd like to mention some Christian groups that have taken positions. So while you're thinking about whether it's appropriate in your own mind for the church or church groups to do this, there's a group called Pro-Life Action Ministries has taken clear stands on the abortion issue. It's a group called Witness for Peace that has taken stands for peace in Central America, specifically Nicaragua. There's the Moral Majority, which has taken positions on gay rights, sodomy laws, school prayer. There's Clergy and Laity Concerned, which had taken position in opposition to the Vietnam War. There have been anti-communist leagues. There are anti-apartheid groups. Think about all these groups now as you've been doing this. And I'd like to discuss for a minute what your reactions were as I read those groups. Did you find yourself saying some of those groups were appropriate? They were going the way they should in spelling out the Christian position and taking a position as Christians? And then in other cases, did you find, hey, that's kind of arrogant. Who says they have a right to speak for me? Who says they have a right to speak for Jesus Christ? I guess I'd like to hear a few comments from people on what they felt. Did you respond differently when I said different groups?
Sure. Yes.
Anybody have any specific comments on it, or did it tend to follow the lines of if you agreed with them, hey, that's appropriate. If you disagreed with them, it was inappropriate?
Yeah.
Okay. Any?
I find it difficult to accept moral majority positions. But I still read their positions in order to be informed. I usually take the opposite position.
So when we hear from some of these groups, what you're saying is that even when we disagree with them, maybe it's something we ought to read their positions, find out why they're saying what they're saying, and hear what they have to say. Any other comments on?
Well, the alternative is that you cut off people's right to freedom of expression. And I don't like that either.
That's a good point. And just to make that clear, yes, this whole discussion is not something that supposing we come up with the conclusion Christians or Christian groups or the Christian church should not take positions on issues. It doesn't mean we're going to stop anybody from doing it. These groups have full rights as American citizens, which we all are. We have the right to speak out. It's our freedom to do that. And supposing we concluded it was wrong to do that, well, they still can do it if they want. It's legal. It's their right as a citizen to speak out. And we all feel strongly about things. And what I'd like to do is come from this. I hope that was a helpful exercise to you individually. I gather almost, was there anybody in the room who did not have different reactions to those groups? Some of the groups thinking, hey, that's a positive thing that we as Christians ought to do. And other groups thinking, hey, that's kind of arrogant and they're not speaking for me or certainly not speaking for Jesus Christ. Did anybody not have different reactions to the different groups I read?
Well, I feel like they might be speaking for Jesus Christ, but they may not be speaking for my feeling or my interpretation of how I feel about my Christianity. But I acknowledge that they have the right to their own ideas.
Okay, so in other words, you want to make it clear that they may disagree with you, they have a right to their ideas, and what you're saying is you think they're interpreting Christ's position.
Interpreting Scripture in a different way.
Yeah.
And I allow for that. I do not agree with them in some of the organizations that you spoke of.
I think also it's that sometimes we don't agree with the way they present things or the tactics they use to muscle their position to the forefront.
That's a good point. Both of these have gotten into some of the things I wanted, some of the issues related to this that I want to explore a little more in depth. So I think those two comments both lead into that.
Is there any room for discomfort with all of them?
You can be uncomfortable with all of them, are you?
I feel discomfort with most of those groups.
Okay. And is your discomfort in the fact that they shouldn't be doing what they're doing, or discomfort with the positions they're coming up with?
I think it's more presenting a particular position as a Christian position rather than working as Christians.
Okay. Taking all those things we're hearing, I had written down a list of some issues I'd like to discuss to help see how we deal with the fact that at least a strong majority in the room felt more comfortable with some of the groups and what they were saying and kind of offended at some of the others, though I think everybody who has spoken up at least has said, yeah, they certainly have the right to their opinion, and I believe they have that right. I disagree with them, though, and feel uncomfortable with what they're saying. The issues I guess I'd like to look at would be, one, the depth of study undertaken before determining the position. The second one would be, and these I'll have to spell out a little bit clearer, extension from point of certainty. When I'm talking about moral certainty here, I'm just talking about how certain can we be that the position that we believe is right. We all, I believe, I hope everybody here firmly believes that slavery is wrong, it's immoral. If you took the same group of people 200 years ago, may have been two feeling one way and one feeling the other way for every on that issue. And so there is a moral certainty on that issue, I would argue right now, that presumably everyone in Holden Village would share. And so there is a point of moral certainty at some place or another. Beyond that, I mean, supposing we believe slavery is wrong because it's wrong to discriminate between people because of their race, well, does that mean it's immoral to oppose interracial marriages? I mean, at one point you have a moral certainty point, and this question is, this issue would be, how far can you extend from that point of certainty? I don't know if you can read my writing. I apologize for it.
How, excuse me, but yes. How wide-ranging is the subject matter? Are we talking just, are we talking about moral issues, political, social, ethical, religious issues? You know, we have a lot of churches that make statements. Some of them we think of as cults, and so on and so forth, that we disagree with, mm-hmm. which are religious issues. Are we narrowing it down at all, or is it the
narrowing
whole,
it only to the point that issues that may come out in the, I don't know, we might call them social, political type of issues, not theological issues.
Okay.
Not, do you believe in infant baptism or not? Not theological issues, but issues, social, political, not necessarily governmental issues. But
you were using the term moral.
Moral issues, moral meaning right or wrong on issues. The issues being not limited beyond the fact that it's a, we'll call them political issues, social political issues perhaps. So don't want to be talking about whether a church, I think everybody knows the church can't exist without saying, here's what we believe in theology. Some churches stay as far as they can from getting near any social political issue, and others are very active in that way, both on the left politically and the right politically. And churches that are both conservative Christian churches and liberal Christian churches in terms of theology take political stands, and they vary across the board in each side. But what I'm trying to talk about here is simply the church involvement, the Christian group, the denominational group involvement in what we might call political or social issues.
Another way I look at that, I don't know if it would be helpful, but I characterize it as perhaps issues that deal with the battle against evil. It might be one way to look at that. Now, people might have different perceptions of what evil is, but I think it's important to remember that that's something that's more clear as something we're called to do as Christians, is to take up the battle against evil. And how things fit on the on the spectrum of what we do about them, you know, may make some difference. Instead of saying it's a moral issue, I tend to look at it as, what does this issue say? It's the battle against evil.
That's okay. Go ahead.
Would one example be something like this? All churches, all Christians believe it's wrong to kill. But then you have the spectrum, the pro-choice and the pro-life. Is that the sort of thing we're talking about?
That's the point I was going to say by this one that I want to discuss. If if Christ teaches against killing, does that extend to, is abortion wrong? If that sort of thing. But the whole, his concern and your comments on it, I want to specify we're not talking about theology in theology itself. We're talking about how we as Christians, whatever our theology is, how it relates to the world of politics, the public world, not how we, what we traditionally see ourselves talking about in church, but what we would see ourselves talking about at election time. And obviously we ought to be talking about political things year-round and church things, theology things week-round. But I want to try and make that distinction just to narrow the topic somewhat. The other issues I want to discuss is the move from a personal position, personal belief, to group belief, to the group taking a position, and in that, congregations, denominations, or political groups. And the fourth issue, final one, it would be, and several, one of you expressed this, and that's the method of expressing the position. The depth of study that one takes to determine the position is something that I think it's understandable. We all will agree on this 100% that what you want to do before you take a position as a Christian church, perhaps your congregation or The new ELCA presumably will be addressing from time to time issues such as the death penalty or something. And then all these other groups, Pro-Life Action Ministries, Witness for Peace, all these groups that have church ties but involved in political issues. The one thing I think we'll all agree on them is if they're going to take positions on these issues, they ought to study the issues real carefully. And to me, what it means to study the issue carefully means, first of all, to gain as many facts as you can about the thing, to try and understand the issue as well as possible. And obviously, because we're talking about the church taking a position or a church group taking a position, to study Christ's teachings, which in most cases, and again determining your method of interpreting the Bible, listening to the discussions here in the past week, some people see the Bible as very clear, this is what it says and that's how we should act in this issue. Others see it as the whole scheme of things in all of church teachings that gives us an attitude that we should bring to an issue. And I don't want to get into biblical interpretation, but just to say that we all ought to study Christ's teachings on the issues. And we ought to pray for compassion and love in dealing with the issues. One example of an issue, and I won't say it's a group taking a position because I'm not sure it is a group that has taken a position, but I'm not sure if there are any Missouri Synod Lutherans here, but clearly they are a major part of our Lutheran body, and many of them, I think if you poll members of Missouri Synod congregations on how many think we ought to have prayer in the public schools, I guess 4 out of 5 of them probably say, yeah, we ought to have prayer in the public schools. And I'd argue that may be a position that, I don't know that the Synod as a whole has taken that position, but I'd argue that may be in poorly thought out position from where they're coming from. The Missouri Synod does not like the idea of praying, sharing communion with fellow Lutherans of different denominations. Missouri Synod Lutherans aren't going to come to church and pray with ELCA members. That's church unionism. They don't like that. Wisconsin Synod Lutherans, the same thing. They think the doctrine isn't pure enough. They're very uncomfortable doing that. And yet here they're talking about supporting public prayer in the public schools, which is presumably written by school boards trying to please the local community, which may mean in Minnesota you're going to have some good Lutheran prayers and in Salt Lake City, you're going to have some good Mormon prayers. And there are clearly Missouri Synod Lutherans in Utah, and I'm not sure they'd like that. If you can't agree with other Lutherans on what kind of prayer you want, how are you going to agree on that? That's just a small example, and again, I'm not saying the church group has taken a position, but I think many people, their gut reaction is they'd like prayer in the public schools, but if they can't agree with fellow people of their own denomination, not synod, but denomination on what the prayers should say, how are they going to possibly agree with the whole range of different types of faiths? The next issue, and again, feel free to interrupt or if you want to challenge or clarify or something. The second one is extension from the point of certainty. How far can we go once we establish what, your example is a perfect one. If the church teaches against killing, does that mean, what's it mean on the abortion issue? I'll go even further than that. Supposing Christ believes, and I don't want to get into whether a fetus is a human being or not, but supposing Christ believes abortion is wrong, and supposing we can all in the room agree to that, does that mean that we should make it a crime to have an abortion? I'm not sure if everybody would agree on whether Christ believes we should not have abortions. I'm sure there would be disagreement in this room on whether that means we should go one step further and make it a crime to do so.
Well, is it a question now that we're asking, is it a crime against God or is it a crime against the community, okay, which is may or may not be a God?
Right.
That's a backed community, so to speak.
That's a good point. What I mean,
civil versus theological again.
Exactly. That's what I mean. What I mean by this, and you pointed out something I wasn't explaining well on that issue. Supposing and I don't want to say we're doing this, but supposing everybody in this room would agree that Christ thinks abortion is wrong, then what I'm saying is that does not extend to the point, or some would agree and some would disagree on whether that extends to the point that Christ then also believes we should never have abortions no matter what the circumstances, and therefore a pure pro-life position, pro-life in the terms of the pro-life, pro-choice split the groups talk about. Namely, in civil law, should we make it a crime in civil law because we think Christ is opposed to abortions in general? And I think what I'm suggesting is we got to be very careful there. Another issue is, you mentioned killing. Church teaches that one of the Ten Commandments is thou shalt not kill. Does that mean killing is always wrong? Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in dealing with Adolf Hitler, apparently thought so. We're looking at a whole picture of things, and maybe killing is wrong. Maybe it's immoral, but maybe there are cases where it's a lesser thing and a lesser of two evils. And I think each of us has to, and as a group that's getting ready to take a position on an issue, we have to be careful in extending from what we see, whether however you interpret, however you get to that point of moral certainty that you have to be extremely cautious in moving beyond that. If we form a group where our congregation believes that killing is wrong, does that mean we should take a position saying that killing is always wrong? It means I should be a pacifist in war. Does it mean I should never kill another person, even if it'll save 1,000 lives? Simply the point I want to make there is we've got to be cautious in moving beyond our point of certainty. And
you don't take a position of killing is wrong because you start off with the Ten Commandments, which is saying killing is wrong. So it's your interpretation of that.
We're saying in that case that we're saying that we as Christians believe killing is wrong. But does that mean killing is wrong to the point, in your way of phrasing it, does that mean that abortion is wrong? Well, it depends if you believe abortion is killing or not. And when you're talking about killing is wrong, there's a commandment against it. Does it mean that killing is so wrong that no matter what the circumstances, like Adolf Hitler, that we should not go and kill him in order to prevent literally millions of lives from being saved?
And closer to home, capital punishment.
Capital punishment.
Abortion, the same thing.
Exactly.
Right, that's killing.
Exactly.
Or euthanasia.
Uh-huh. All of those issues, the commandment says, thou shalt not kill. How far does that move? That's a perfect example of what I mean by let's be cautious in moving from what we see as a point of moral certainty into a specific political issue. The third and fourth points, issues want to examine, I think are the points where, from what the questions were earlier, there's going to be more interest in most discussion about. One is the move from a personal position to a group position. And we clearly, all of us, have heated feelings on a lot of these issues. When I read that list of groups before and the positions they've taken, I think most of us have our own personal beliefs on take some of those groups. On the abortion issue, on Central American issues, we had positions on the Vietnam War, on school prayer, on gay rights, on apartheid. All these issues, we all have clearly felt positions, and presumably if you feel strongly about them, you think it's the morally right position. How can somebody disagree? You know people do, and you know why they do, but still you feel you have a position of moral certainty, but the problem here in the third point is the move to a group. I guess I would not argue that it's wrong for a... Let's break this into three levels. Perhaps the smallest group of... the first group to discuss that we might take a position as Christians in that do is congregations. I think there are some congregations that do, or certainly Bible study groups in congregations or committees in congregations do take positions on issues. The next type of group that I'll go to is the denominational type of group. LCA and ALC, I know have done it a number of times in recent years. I think most denominations do. The legislature I see from time to time on issues, the Catholic bishops will come in on certain welfare issues. Church groups do take positions as church groups, as denominational church groups. And that's far more frequent, I would guess, than congregations, because congregations I've been involved at have not taken specific issue positions. And the third type of group is the one when I listed those lists before: Witness for Peace, Pro-Life Action Ministries, Moral Majority, Clergy and Laity Concern. Those are not denominational groups. Those are anybody can join them regardless of your specific Christian belief. You can join those groups. And those groups are generally formed around issues, not formed around an identical theology, but they're formed around the political issue. Clergy and Laity Concerned was formed in the 60s in opposition to the Vietnam War. People who were Christian who shared that position formed it. Pro-Life Action Ministries, by their title, you can gather, it gathered because they shared a position on the abortion issue. I guess I'd like to briefly discuss this, throwing out two questions about it. One is it more appropriate for denominations or congregations to take the church groups to take positions, or is it more or less appropriate for the church political groups to take positions? And I'll give an argument for each one. If a church takes a position, if the LCA takes a position in opposition to capital, or in support of capital punishment, they, as a church that has to minister to people of every kind of philosophy, some of whom are going to agree and some who are going to disagree with that position, they may lose members. Is that a risk we ought to take in as a denomination in going out and taking a stand? Is it worth the possible risk of loss of members? And then on the other hand, with a Christian political group forming it, because those groups are formed just around specific issues, is it too likely those groups are going to forget? Are they being formed just to add Christ to the purported list of supporters of their position? Does anybody want to make any comments on this kind of thing?
Well, I would say from the way I feel that I certainly don't want my pastor of Our Savior's Lutheran Church making a statement that Our Savior stands for one economic philosophy or one financial philosophy. In other words, I don't want my pastor becoming an expert in economics, finance, agriculture, foreign affairs, foreign relations, and military expert. And neither do I want the Lutheran Church as the church body become an expert in those fields. I want them to be theological experts and leave it up to the individual to decide what is right financially, politically, economically, based on their theological beliefs.
So you would be arguing that a denomination or a congregation should not take positions?
I would say in most situations, yes. I would think, though, that there are some basic tenets to our civilization and our beliefs as Christians that major concerns, there might be a few major concerns that the Lutheran Church, or positions they should take, and
such as,
well, I don't have anything right off the top of my head.
Well,
probably World War II or something like that.
We had an incident about, I think 2 years ago, when there was an issue on the ballot in California. If you voted a certain way and you were elderly, this would help you get certain benefits. Well, we have a lot of elderly people, and they really, I don't think, necessarily understand what's going on. And all we had was just a brief resume of, if you vote this way, this is what happens. Because I think in all the states, you read it and you think, what are they talking about? So all we did was clarify it for our elderly that if you do vote yes, this will probably benefit you. And boy, this was a big issue. People got all excited.
So the church sent out this issue, this clarification position.
They put it in a monthly paper, which is mailed out, which I thought, this is our job. Mm-hmm. If we can help somebody, we're not hurting anyone in this world. We're not taking opinion. We're just saying, this is a little further explanation. And I thought this was what we should do. Mm-hmm. And I was appalled that anyone would object to it.
So in other words, you're saying what I want to comment, combine these two things. One is he's saying that congregation or denominational type structure should not, in most cases, should not take a position because that's not the role of them and there's too much disagreement among churches. You're saying in one case you took one where you kind
it
of...
It wasn't a position.
It wasn't even a position. It was just an explanation.
It was just information.
But presumably
and
the way...
I think that's our job. Mm-hmm. I think if we can help our elderly, we should do it.
What was the opposition based on that? Were people saying it wasn't a neutral explanation? Or?
Don't you do it in Minnesota the same way?
We don't have initiatives like that.
So that they write it up so that, gosh darn, this is going to cost a lot of money. And then the side where it says it's going to help is so hard to understand for younger people, maybe just out of college, that all we were trying to do was to help our elderly understand it. We didn't take a position at all. We just said, this is what happens if you vote yes, and you're thus and so, this may benefit you. And I think this we should do. If mm-hmm. we can't do it, we should just hang it up.
But wasn't that information from a lobbying group?
No.
You see, here's a case of somebody doing something they think is totally uncontroversial, not taking a position, and there's somebody for, apparently because they don't want somebody else to have what the church was considering the facts, didn't want that explained in the way it was explained, whether they disagreed with
the explanation. Perhaps helping them with health issues. Mm-hmm. It was something that was very, we'd all want our elderly to have, I believe.
Yes.
Well, the problem that I see with something like that is it may have been a neutral position to somebody, but it may not have been a neutral position to somebody else. And I think it's really important when you get in the political arena that you present both sides. Somebody else may have thought it wasn't going to benefit them.
I don't know how they could.
I mean, what I'm saying is that
if you were rich, maybe you're going to have to pay
sides,
more.
I think of the issue. And that is the problem when you get into politics in the church, is that you start dividing people.
Then you don't think this should have been in the messenger.
No,
we just
hang
it up. We have people who barely make their enough money to live. We're
I think
very...
there are other avenues of getting at that kind of problem.
I think I don't want to draw this into a big argument over that specific thing, but this is a good example, let me say, of the fact when the church does this, and I'm not arguing that the church should not do this, I'm arguing the church should be cautious in what it's doing. But here's a perfect example of people saying, hey, this issue shouldn't even be controversial, or we're not even supporting a certain position, we're just trying to explain it, what we think is neutrally, and others are taking that to task. Lois?
I think this is kind of where the point is, though, because I can visualize, having church-related pro-life groups and church-related pro-choice groups. I can deal with that because that's not within the congregation. That's a separate group, and those who are for those particular positions work together to promote their ideas. But within the congregation, I think it becomes a real dilemma. Within our congregation, we have a pastor who is very strongly minded as far as his own social political issues are concerned, and he speaks this out very strongly in a congregation, and he has strong positions, for example, on nuclear arms, on Nicaragua, a lot of these things, in a congregation that is over 50% military-related. It takes a lot of courage, but it also causes a lot of turmoil within the congregation. And I think, I'm not sure, I mean, I know he feels that he is compelled to speak out on these issues. And I strongly appreciate that position. But there are people of other positions in that congregation. And I really struggle with it a lot. as to my feelings about this and where I stand. And I think that when it gets on the congregational level is where you have strong feelings about involvement, just as this lady here talked about promoting, you know, this welfare
question. Are you saying, though, you feel uncomfortable with a specific congregation, or in that case, pastor of a congregation, who clearly believes something very strongly, you feel awkward about them doing it? Do you feel the same way about a denomination, either a district of the new ELCA, perhaps, or a synod in general?
Probably so. I mean, I that they would, because I will still choose to agree or disagree with whatever they come up with.
It's the depth of the study. What you call that?
Depth of the study undertaken. Yes, yeah.
That sometimes leads me to believe I like some guidelines from the larger group, because I am not going to sit down and check it all out. And I do not want them to tell me what to do. It would be helpful if they gave me the options, so that I know that I'm not that politically involved, that I don't have the time to find those things out.
One more comment. I want to move from that on to the next point, but before we get there, you had your hand.
I was going to say that in our congregation, we have some degree of difference in terms of political stances, but we have always had teaching, more in the form of teaching about related Bible issues. So you can go and learn if you choose, and draw your own conclusions. And I feel the same as she does. I like it when the church as a whole has its finest scholars research these issues and give guidelines. But I think if the new Lutheran church were to come reach a position on an issue that was really important to me, I would probably think about not being a Lutheran anymore. And that would be okay.
Mm-hmm. I feel the same way. It's a wonderful thing when the church undertakes a study of an issue and presents what the results of that study fairly, without arriving at a conclusion. Now, discussion groups can come along and kind of work around, play around with what's in that study, and maybe some people will come away with a conclusion. What I kind of resent the church doing, and I don't know that it happens a great deal, but sometimes we get statements from a national body, like the National Council of Churches, of which we may be a member, making statements that I feel are being made on my behalf because we are a member of that national body, and nobody asked me, you see. Now, those are conclusionary types of statements as opposed to the studies.
I don't want to keep going on this, because I do want to keep moving on, but real quickly, yes.
Because I appreciate what everybody said, and I understand their feelings. But I think the weakness in what we're all saying is that this individual right prohibits the church from taking action socially. And I think we're looked at as Christians to be a witness in these areas. And if we can't get together at all to make a singular position, then the church does not take action. We don't have any action. If she thinks one way, and he thinks another way, and I think another way, we're all happy with that. But if we never get together, and the world's looking at us, and people are starving, and people are dying, and people are oppressed, you know, and we don't take any positions on abortion, we don't take any positions on any of these things, we do our own thing. Most of us don't do our own thing. And so that's the only part that bothers me. I think it's great to have these feelings, and I get stubborn in certain areas. And I see the gentleman who talked about Nicaragua. I didn't want to hear that last night. I didn't even want to go, because I have feelings about that. I'm glad I went. And I think he's helped to nudge me a little bit. But I am concerned that I have to look for some place for direction as a Christian. You know, the Bible is there, but it's hard for all of us to understand what God wants us to do. And I'm not strong enough myself to look at the Bible and make that decision. If our church doesn't give us any direction, then we don't move as a church, and I'm concerned about our church not being more involved in God's world.
I'm going to move from there, though I see a couple other hands up on that. And I think that is a good point. This has been a real helpful discussion on this issue. I'm hearing a lot of people saying they're real, you know, we're going to leave the church if we disagree. We really are offended by it. On the other hand, we like some guidance. We like some background. We like some study. We don't like real firm conclusions out of that. But on the other side, he's pointing out, and I think you made a very good point that the inability to reach perfect agreement on anything, we've got to make sure as Christians we can't sit around all day and discuss and never do anything about any of these issues, which may mean, and sir, your one point at the end there about how many of us do go out and do something, well, maybe we as individuals have to go out and do it then if the church cannot as a church group do it. Most of this has been around the congregation and denomination. Real briefly on the Christian political groups, I'm gathering from the comments earlier when I listed all these groups and their positions, there was a little bit more understanding of the fact that those groups, whether we want them to or not, are going to take positions and that they have a right as citizens to do that. So I want to bring from that into the next issue, that of how we express our positions. How do we take these? And I was going to, at great risk, I'm going to point out a few examples of what I see are positive ways of expressing this and negative ways. And then I'm going to move on and give a couple reasons why I think that might be the case. And we can open up for discussion at that point. First of all, some of the positive, I'll just give two examples that I see are positive ways, whether you agree or disagree with them, of groups that are church, political church groups that are taking positions on very specific issues and doing it in a way that I think is good, and I'll explain why in a minute. I'll take the group Bread for the World, which I think a number of you are familiar with. It is a Christian citizens movement that gets involved in federal issues, lobbying for things that will help hungry people throughout the world.
It is not denominational.
It is an interdenominational Christian group, and they do take very specific issues. They spend bulk of their time with the first one, I'd say here, depth of study, a lot of study, and mainly what they do to their members is provide them detailed newsletters telling them how to go. Another group that I will give as an example, because there was somebody in my yesterday's talk who was one, and that is war tax protesters. I also heard somebody else in the audience say, hey, they think that's obnoxious or that's bad, but I'll take that as an example of somebody who, the people who are withholding a portion of their taxes because they feel that the money is being spent immorally on our defense system. And I'll argue as a politician, you can't run a government if everybody says, well, I want to withhold 30% because it's going to that, and I don't like to see it spent on that, and I'm going to withhold 50% because it's being withheld for that. But I'll argue that this group is taking action in a positive way. They're breaking the law, but they're usually setting aside the money, holding it in escrow, giving it to other things, and then the IRS comes in and takes it anyway. They make the IRS go through the taking them to court and doing it. But it's their way of saying, we think this is morally wrong. We are doing that as individuals. It's not a church denomination. I know Lutheran Peace Fellowship does some of that. I know these are individuals doing it, taking a strong moral position, and they're living up to the consequences of what they have to do. I'll say these are two positive groups. One, because they're not proclaiming that somebody who disagrees with them is immoral, and so let me get to some negative examples before I get into the reasons. A couple years ago, 1980, I believe, a group called the Christian Voice issued what they call morality ratings of members of Congress. They rate everybody 0 to 100% on how moral they were. The interesting thing about it was Religious Roundtable and Christian Voice and one other group, that more majority, I believe, that was in on it. They picked 10 issues, and if you were absent, you might not get a 0, 10, 20, 30, but an odd number rating, but everyone was rated between 0 and 100. And one of the interesting things about it, Paul Simon, who was here at Holden Village a couple of years ago, had gotten a 0 rating from them. He's a Missouri Synod church member, a strong Lutheran, and he wrote a column on this thing, which I thought was entertaining because he pointed out that John Buchanan, who was a Baptist minister, got a 0 rating, immoral, 100% immoral rating, 0% moral rating. Robert Edgar, who's a Methodist minister who was in Congress at the time, got a 17% rating. Father Drynan, a Catholic priest, got a 0. Paul Simon said he got a 0. There were about 5 clergymen. They all got 0s. And the one guy who accepted $25,000 in the Abscam scandal, the one House member, Richard Kelly Ford, he got 100% moral rating. And one of the issues they picked, and a lot of them were ones that I think we would recognize as church-related controversies such as the abortion issue and so on. One of them was it was immoral to support a U.S. Department of Education. Not quite sure what the rationale was, whether it was that the federal government stepping into local educational issues may in the end be dictating philosophy in the classroom or something. But in any case, I'm not sure what their rationale was, but it was one that if you disagreed with them on whether there should be, this was prior to the U.S. Department of Education being established, they said it was moral to support that and, to the contrary, immoral to oppose it. Denominational ministry strategies, which was discussed a number of times, I would argue has also been fairly negative in the way it's done it. It's been going to church conventions and yelling at others and saying they're immoral, they don't care, they care about themselves, they don't care about the poor. They're accusing others in a negative way. Number 3, I'll pick Oral Roberts. It's not strictly a political issue, but he's done it a number of times, this most recent one, his fundraising appeals. If you don't do this, God is going to strike me down and do it. God, he just saw a 900-foot-tall Jesus, and he told him to build this beautiful hospital in Tulsa. I'll argue that way of moving from your Christian faith to political action is a negative way. The only way you can disagree with that is to say, yeah, you met 900-foot-tall Jesus and he told you to do this. Well, this week I met a 1,000-foot-tall Jesus and he told me not to. I mean, you can't really argue that way. It's not a fair way of dealing with our American political process. And finally, yesterday, I think in my talk, I gave an example of a candidate who said he was the Christian candidate for state legislature, Minnesota, who was successful one time. He put up lawn signs in church lots. And one Lutheran pastor who asked me if I knew the guy, he said, who gave you permission to put this up? And he said, well, I'm the Christian candidate. And his opponent, who I knew happened to be a strong Roman Catholic, this guy said, well, we don't want it here. We didn't give you permission. He says, well, the churches haven't done enough for me. I'll argue that's another example of a negative way of expressing a Christian position. And the reasons I'm going to give real quickly, because we're only 10 minutes left and I want this to be open up for discussion, is that the groups that I say are positive are doing, one, they're studying the issues carefully. They're not getting personal. They're being civil to their opponents. We disagree, but we can meet in this group and we can talk one-on-one, face-to-face, without tearing each other's heads off, without saying you're immoral because you supported this issue. And another thing, when they do criticize, they're criticizing a position, not a person. They're trying to be, not to be insensitive to the other side. And another thing they're doing is they're not claiming to be the Christian candidate, the Christian position, namely the position of Jesus Christ. They are taking a position as a Christian or as a group of Christians. And I'd say there's a major distinction there. Namely, we can everybody in this room, if we can agree to some position, we can say we're a group of concerned Lutherans who feel this way, and here's why we do. We think teachings of Christ are such and such, and from that and from our own experience, we think this is appropriate course of action. But that's a lot different than saying this is the Christian position. And But again, one of the major ones is how you deal with your opponents. Morality ratings of members of Congress is assuming somebody with a zero is an immoral person, immoral voting record. That's not what I'd call civil treatment of your opponents, and I'd say that's a negative thing.
Terrorism?
I'm not sure if it's terrorism. I'm not sure what it is. Anyway, I'd like to... Yes, it's an opinion, exactly. It's exactly that. I'd like to open it up for discussion here and then reserve like 2 minutes for a few comments at the end. Comments, Jack?
It seems to me that we almost have no choice as Christians but to be involved in the political arena in all aspects of our lives, as individuals, as congregations, as denominations. And I, frankly, really think it's wonderful if a pastor is willing to share some of these issues and encourage a congregation to do that. I think it's really good if denominations take statements on controversial issues, having studied them, wrestled with them together. The problem I have is not that. My problem is when we do that in a context of saying people who disagree with us are going to hell, or you know, people who don't think what I think or who disagree with this position and don't act on it, they're somehow lesser in God's eyes. So it gets at the point of us becoming ultimate judges. I think it's good to wrestle with those questions. I think denominational statements are sometimes good. They're sometimes maybe not good in the eyes of us, and maybe even in the eyes of God. But I think we need to be willing to take those risks that we may be right or wrong, but we have to take action in the world. But it needs to be done with humility, not with the absolute statement that we know what God thinks. That's when it gets problematic.
So Jack is saying he would like to see, he doesn't object to even congregations or individual pastors speak out strongly, but am I hearing you correct? Civility to opponents is one of the things. You've got to respect their right to disagree. And
through humility of saying,
humility,
I may be wrong in the eyes of God in terms of the decision that I'm making. But I think what we end up doing so many times, getting back to this gentleman's comment, is we don't do anything. We're frozen by our fear of being wrong, or making somebody mad. I think we need to act, but we need to act with a great deal of humility, looking up to others and to God, saying, we may be wrong, but this is the best we can do, having wrestled with this together.
As an example, is it better to walk with the whole congregation to the state capitol and say, you have to build shelters for the poor who are sleeping in the street, whereas the congregation refuses to open the church and let the people sleep in the church? In other words, if you take the political action, don't you shovel it back, the government has to do it, and we will just sit here and watch it? Shouldn't we get the congregation doing it first before they go out to the world and say, you have to do that?
I want to respond to that a little bit before continuing the discussion. I think that's a very good point, that saying political action is a substitute for personal action. And I think many of the congregations that do, I don't know how many congregations do political action en masse, but I think many of them are also the ones that do run their own food shelves and so on. But I think it is a good point that we cannot allow this political action. I don't disagree with Jack that we all ought to be involved in. My whole life is involved in it because of my feeling it's important. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't personally help out in our own individual way, too. There were a whole bunch of other hands. Pierre.
All this stuff, all the different levels and kind of themes, they blur together and they come apart in different ways at different times for me. But what I'm seeing now is that you have these different levels of kind of issue development, and a congregation is still, it's a group of people, and they are all political individuals aside from their doctrinal affiliation. And it seems to me it's an ideal place for education to go on, not necessarily any political statement though. Although, ideally speaking, education will lead to that. But it seems that it's almost a ministerial concern that the truth, if there is such a thing, be understood. And ideally, the congregation as a community is a place where the kind of depth that these issues demand of us can be entertained. So I'm not going to find that kind of community at work. I may find that kind of community in my neighborhood, although that's a transient enough thing that I probably won't. A community organization would be the kind of secular substitute for a church where these issues are also focused on. But it seems that the place where we can talk about this and kind of what Jack was saying, entertain conflict at the level that it needs to be voiced. I mean, we are all very different people and we have very different concerns. And we have to bring out all those differences in order to really speak as one.
Way in the bed.
I'd like to know if Jack feels that if in the past the Lutheran various synods, their position papers on issues were strong enough.
Well, I'll just say a word. I think that as Lutherans, we need to, I think it's good that we make statements, and I think maybe sometimes they should be stronger on different things, but I'll just give you an example. I think some of the statements that the Lutheran Church has made in relation to Central America, for example, and specifically El Salvador, and the support that has grown out of that within individual congregations for the Lutheran Church in El Salvador, that is under a great deal of persecution by the U.S.-backed government there. That there are people who are alive in El Salvador today because of that, that would not be alive if it weren't for that. So I think at some point, yes, they would probably need to be strengthened. Sometimes maybe they've even been misguided. But overall, I think that enterprise is one we're struggling with.
You see what happens when you draw a conclusion as a corporate body involved in our job, which is to get the word of God out to people so that people can act responsibly. If you let that body arrive at conclusions that are irreversible, polarization, you have destroyed that body from doing the thing that it set out to do in the first place, and that is to teach what God wants to have taught in this world. We have to act as individuals responsibly, whether it's in our daily communications or whether it's at the polls. Our church cannot vote as such. And polarization, I think, is the end of the church.
I do think you've got a person on each side of you who had made comments earlier that wouldn't necessarily exactly disagree, but also...
And you see, with Jack, I get, you know, just hearing him, just... sends me off into space. That's and to take that risk, Jack, not as an individual, but the idea.
Yeah.
That's the risk that I don't think we as a Lutheran church can afford to take. Our job is to educate, to cheat, to teach, but act as individuals.
One comment before I get to some of the others. The gentleman on the other side of you who spoke up earlier and made some good comments, I think he was saying he too disagreed with Jack, but he was also making a point very similar to Jack's that the church, and what you're saying, the church has a role to go out and teach and so on. I think they may both say the role of teaching and action in the church may involve some of these controversial things as well. I guess that just shows the complexity.
With all due respect, I think I heard the gentleman say that he didn't act. And I think our duty to Christ is to act as individuals, responsible individuals. And most of us don't, you know.
That's right. I think it's difficult. I think, gosh, you know, I put money in the offering every Sunday. Big deal.
But you know,
but that doesn't feed people necessarily in Nicaragua, or that doesn't stop a baby from being aborted prior to birth. You know, that it may indirectly, but I think I've already said that.
Yeah, no, I think it's good. I'll take a couple more comments because we are running out of time. I want to make some conclusions. You've had your hand.
Why do we have elected officials in this country if the church knows all the answers?
I, as an elected official, would like to argue that that elected officials aren't the only ones in this country who are to determine which way we go, but we are to be responsive to the public at large, and the public at large includes many churches. I mean, the church is a major part of American life. I don't think it ought to dictate things, but on the other hand, it does have a role in expressing its position to the public, to legislators.
If our elected officials don't make the decisions for us, then mm-hmm. who does make
them? I think the final decision has to be made, and I proudly take that, and I see it as a responsibility I'm given, but in making those decisions, I don't have any problem in a person, whether they're Christian or non-Christian, in making a statement and saying, here's what I believe and here's why I believe it.
There was an individual, I think it was Julius Caesar, said divide and conquer. And I think Satan's doing a pretty good job of it when he divides the church. It's an easy church to conquer.
I just have a comment about that, you know, talking about the vision and all that stuff. I mean, I think we have to look at the ministry of Jesus. And Jesus made a lot of enemies. He didn't mean to divide people. That wasn't his goal. But I think what he did, he went into the church and he threw tables down. People all didn't say, oh, that's a unifying thing that he did. People got really angry.
Yes, but did he take a stance on finance, on agriculture?
Sure, he took a stance on finance. He threw the moneymakers down. That is a stance on finance. That's a stance on economics.
Our hour is about up in... Yes, no, I want to make some concluding comments, and I think this discussion has been real good, and I do think as part of it, some of the points I wanted to make up, and I've made through these points, I hope, and from what I'm hearing from the discussion, there's a whole lot more disagreement on issues than there is on how church groups deal with these things, though there's clearly some disagreement on that too. I'm hearing certain things that are almost across the board here. Namely, these things ought to be discussed. We ought to be talking about these. We ought to be grasping, struggling with them. Whether we come up to conclusions as church groups is one of the major challenges I think I've heard between various people here. But because of the fact that church groups are going to continue to take positions and church political groups as the non-denominational groups are going to continue to form around these issues, it's going to continue happening, and we each as Christians have a role to do what we think is right, to take when we think something is the moral position, when we personally believe that, we shouldn't be going out in certain inappropriate ways, and therefore I wanted to leave with certain perhaps guidelines for this. One is to remember our imperfect knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, and I think that's come out from just about everybody who's spoken up, that we in our own certainty, we're not infallible. We know we have failure. Number two is study the issues as carefully as we can. That doesn't mean just individually, but as church groups, as groups of people. And number three, though it hasn't come up here, I think we all agree we have to pray for compassion and understanding of these issues. Fourth point may be that we should use extreme caution in moving from we can determine as a church community at large that killing is wrong or that this is wrong or that this is wrong. When we move from that specific point that we do agree on, going on and saying that means that we're all...